from verses 18 and verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation. Say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Right? Okay, Mark 16 from verse 16. And he said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And the Son shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name thou cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Did you see that? You see that? In Luke 24, 4 verses 46. It says, thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ, 46, thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and our repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. For behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued with power on high, from on high. John 20, verses 22 to 23. And when he had spoken these things to them, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit are remitted, and whosoever ye retain are retained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we said this will be Jesus' instructions, right, within the 40 days, or Jesus' instructions he gave to them when he taught them within the 40 days, right? And we say those instructions will be the same. Hallelujah. They will be the same. The write out of the synoptic. Though it looks as if they were writing it in different forms, but it's the same thing. Go make disciples. Go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. And we said the instruction these with the entrance into discipleship by the preaching of the gospel, and what happens in discipleship, right? Hallelujah. So we said, because Jesus read from scripture, it will be the instructions of scripture. Jesus read Genesis to Malachi, so it will be the instructions from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. And that instruction will be God's plan, right? It will be God's plan in all the earth. I'm going to be a bit fast. In all the earth. Paul will say this. First Timothy 2 verse 4. He said it will be God's plan if all the earth will be what? That all men be saved. Do you see that? So God's plan is not for some people. God's plan is for every man. It's for every man. You have to see it that way. God's plan is for every man. The man in your street, the man in your house, the man on the road, the man everywhere. God's plan is for every man. The poor, the rich, the old, the young. You understand me? Hallelujah. Amen? That's God's plan for everyone. That's God's plan, that they be all saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Come to the knowledge of the truth. And this starts to be carried out by God's man, right? Genesis 1:26, God's man. God's man. So it will be the man born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's move ahead. So we said Jesus, as we said in Luke 24:25-27, says, O fool, slow about to believe in all the prophets have spoken. There ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So Jesus read from the scriptures, right? He read from the scriptures. Like we said in the leading of the Spirit, we said Jesus never spoke down any of the prophets. So he read from the scripture. He wouldn't speak down on his men. Hallelujah. God will use the words of his men. Men he said. You see that? So that means as believers today, we must restrict ourselves to the interpretations in scriptures. Hallelujah! So Jesus, in interpreting scriptures, would have to cross the language barrier. So he expounded. That is the word diamineo. Diamineo. He expounded. He expounded diamineo. Hallelujah. Diamineo. He expounded. Now that word means to interpret a language, to translate a language. And we said every Bible student is an interpreter. So what you have as translation, KJV, NIV, and the like are actually interpretations. Do you follow me? They are actually interpretations. Are you following me? They are interpretations. So Jesus had to cross the language barrier. That is the reason for the diamineo. Therefore, we can say you cannot take away language translation from how you read scriptures. You can't. You can't take away translating language from how you read scriptures. Translating language has nothing to do with dictionary. Hope you're following me. Amen? That has nothing to do with dictionary. I know people who read their Bibles with Oxford dictionary. Interesting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've never done that though. Glory to God. But people have people who do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. You can't take away Bible translation. You can't take away translation or you translate language from how you read your Bible. This is why a Bible student is an interpreter. You see that? A Bible student, as I said to you earlier, is an interpreter. Because you have to cross the language barrier. In the days of Jesus, Jesus had to. Why would you say Jesus had to cross the language barrier? Jesus spoke to his audience. Jesus spoke Greek. He spoke Aramaic, right? Aramaic is like the vernacular of our day. Not Arabic, Aramaic. They're not the same. Hallelujah. Like the vernacular of our day. How you use slang. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Vernacular. So Jesus spoke Aramaic and he spoke Greek. And he was from a Hebrew descent. But in his day, what was predominant was the Greek and the Aramaic. I hope you're following me. The Greek and the Aramaic. Amen. Amen. Just the vernacular is slang of their world. It's just like, how many of you have read Matthew 5:39, where he says, if you are slapped on one cheek, turn the other. He says, hey, if Moses said an eye for an eye, that is actually a slang in their day. Turn the other cheek. What you mean turn the other cheek doesn't mean the slap, you should turn your other cheek. Amen? It means you should resolve that matter immediately. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you should turn your other cheek. No, it means resolve the matter. Okay, follow me. So, but it was, in the actually, you have to go back to your world to understand what it means. It was a word. Jesus' audience understood what he was saying. Do you understand me? It was in their world. Hope you're following me. You know, today, and like in the last 10 years, or 10 years ago, if somebody tells you I'm a goat, you tell them, are you normal? How can you be calling yourself a goat? But today, if somebody tells you I'm a goat, you say, wow. You know, now you say, wow. You're the man. Right? Because today, in the language of our day, today, the vernacular of our day, you will say, I'm a goat. You are not necessarily saying you are meh. You are saying what? You are the greatest of all time. What are you following me? You see the way language has just evolved. Imagine you now read something last 10 years. Somebody says the greatest of all time. Now put it, he's goat. I say it's 10 years ago. You say, no, this can't be 10 years ago now. This is recently. People started calling people goats. Do you understand? Eh? You see the way language has evolved just within 10 years. Just within 10 years. In fact, last 3 years, last 4 years, you tell somebody I'm a goat. They say, are you normal? Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's just vital. You see how words change over time.
So Jesus too had to cross the language barrier. In their world, what they had predominantly was the Greek and the Aramaic, right? But scriptures, what they had as scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, was written in Hebrew. In fact, so Jesus, right? Look at it. Jesus will have to cross that language barrier. So as to speak to his audience. You get me? He had a Greek, Aramaic dominated audience. Right? And what he has to teach them was a what? Was a Bible written in Hebrew. Though they had the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, like the way you have the KJV today. You have the KJV. You have the NIV. They had that in their world. They had the Septuagint. But yet, okay, follow me. Yet, Jesus will have to go back again. Because at the point of translation, many a times, words lose its import. Do you understand me? Words lose their import. So Jesus will have to go back again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very important. Very, very vital there. So, not just Jesus, but every other writer of the scriptures. They will have to interpret from the writer before them. From the writer before them. Hallelujah. From the writer before them. Go to God. They will have to interpret. We saw Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 8:8, let's go there. We saw Nehemiah 8:8. Ezra had to give a sense. He had to interpret Moses. Nehemiah 8:8. He gave a sense towards Moses. Now that word to give a sense is the same thing you do when you are doing a translation. Nehemiah 8:8. If you're there, I'm going to read. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God. What is the book of the law of God? Moses, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? The book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reason. So he gave the sense, means he interpreted. Hallelujah. So Ezra had to interpret Moses, who was over 1,000 years, he was written over 1,000 years before. Yet it's the same language, but he has to interpret. Hope you're following me. Because language has evolved. In Daniel 9:2, look at Daniel 9 verse 2. Daniel had to interpret Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just 70 years before Daniel. And yet Daniel had to interpret it. Hope you're following me. Daniel 2. I mean Daniel 9, sorry. Look at verses 2. He said, the first year of the king. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the year of the word of the Lord. I mean, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that is to accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. Did you see that? Did you see that? He understood by the books. So he had to interpret from Jeremiah. From Jeremiah. What are you following me? He understood. So he understood by the book, meaning he had a grasp. He understood it that, oh, it's supposed to be 70 years. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah will say the same thing. Or Jeremiah, where will you find that? You'll find it in Jeremiah 29, verses 10. Jeremiah 29:10. You see the prophecy there. Hope you're following me. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Hope you then. He said, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hallelujah. So, he gave a sense, and then, Daniel will have to interpret Jeremiah. So, let's do it this way. Look at it this way. Nehemiah will interpret who? Genesis, right? Will interpret Moses, right? Right? And the prophets before him. You get it? Jeremiah will do the same thing. Daniel will do the same thing to Jeremiah and the prophets before him. You get me? That is how it is done. You give a sense. You always have to do that. You always have to interpret language. Even though they were written in the same language, yet it has done what? It has evolved. Right? The same way today I tell you, wow, Kenneth, you are a goat. And he doesn't go, why are you calling me a goat? You probably say, wow, thank you, sir. Right? The greatest of all time. But you can't, I wouldn't, if I had told him this last 2 years, or last 3 years, he would say, sir, you are insulting me. I hope you are following me. You know, when somebody was done singing, I'm a goat, I'm a goat, I'm a goat. So another person, I'm a cow. You know, the guy I was singing, I'm a goat, he's singing, he's a man. You know, he's singing, I'm a goat, greatest of all time. Another person, I'm a cow. He said, a cow has tons of... I'm talking about that, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead. So, in Bible interpretation, something I need you to see quickly. We're taking it from where we stop. In Bible interpretation, you must understand that from the writer's point of view, the writer, the person that is writing, writer's point of view, he was not writing to you. Hope you are following me. The writer's mind, there was no Kenneth in his mind. So he was not writing to you. Or put it this way, you are not his intended audience. You are not the writer's intended audience. When they wrote, they didn't write for you to read it today. Hope you are following me. You are the spirit audience. I like it that way. You are the spirit audience. Or put an extended audience. Glory to God. And in God's inspiration, He uses what is available. When yet the inspiration of God, God uses what is available to men. And what was available? What is available to man? What is available to man is man's language, his knowledge, his science. So God will use man's knowledge, man's science. Okay, for the lady. Man's science. So that is why when they want to talk, remember, look up. Science of our day says you think with your brain. But the science of that day, we're thinking where? Stomach. That was the science of that day. That's stomach. So God will use the science of that day. Okay, for the lady. Okay, for the lady. The science of that day will say the sun is moving. The science of our day is that the earth moves around the sun. Hope you're following me. But God will use the science of that day. So when Joshua prayed that the sun should keep still, you know, today we say, how can you say the sun should keep still? The sun is still now, right? It's the earth that goes around the sun. But in Joshua's day, he prayed that the sun should be still. God will have to use the science of that day. Hope you're following me. Okay, following this. Was there a standstill? There was. Because God will use the science of their day. God will use their language. So their language will have barriers, but God will have to use it. Because that is God's inspiration. God in his inspiration doesn't bypass people's brain. No, it's not, your brain is not iPhone that they will bypass. You understand me? He doesn't bypass your brain. He uses what is available to you in your language, in your words. And the way you will speak will be God speaking. Okay, follow me. God doesn't bypass people's brains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, the writers will use words in their world. They will use words in their world. And God will use that. God will use how they will communicate, their mode of communication. They will write, they will communicate in figures of speech, right? God will have to use it. God will have to use it. God will have to use their figures of speech. And it will be inspiration of God. The imagery, the snake in the garden, God will have to use it that way. God will have to use the trees. How they use trees. God will have to use trees the way they use trees. Okay, brother. Amen? That is the inspiration of God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember what you say. You are not the intended audience. Rather, the intended audience is their immediate world, right? Who is the intended audience? Their immediate audience, their immediate world. And we are the eventual audience. I like that. Or put spirit audience. Or put again extended audience. You can call us today the eventual audience or the spirit audience or the extended audience. Because they were not writing to us, but we got it. Hallelujah. Though when they were writing, the Spirit knew that we will read it today. Right? Right? But yet he couldn't bypass them. So that is why you can't take away translation from Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Therefore, if I am to interpret the words of the writers that were written in their word to their immediate audience today, I would have to understand that the words used can never mean today what it never meant when it was written first. Or put, the words can never mean today anything different from what the writers intended it to be. That means, Bible interpretation, look up here, Bible interpretation is listening. Bible interpretation is, first of all, I need to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. Okay, follow me. What was in the mind of the writer when they wrote? So in finding out if they were available here, you ask them, right? You ask Paul, you ask Peter, you ask Moses, sorry sir, what were you planning to say here, right? But they are not here. So that means I would have to find that out myself. Hallelujah. I would have to find that out myself. Glory to God. So, if I find out that myself, first of all, I must know. Find out that yourself.
We're leaving that for
Wima. Hallelujah. We'll take all that story in Wima's part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see something. Therefore, I must note that words cannot mean today what it never meant when the writers wrote it. So that means the use of words lies solely with the writer. How words are going to be used lies solely, not with me, but with the writer. So I cannot superimpose words in my day to day into scripture. No. I don't have the authority of the words. I don't have the authority of the usage of the words. Who has it? The writer. Okay, follow me. The writer has the authority of the usage of the word. So that means I have to find out what he was communicating. Okay, follow me. So I have here, the writer has the use, the use of the word lies solely with the writer. The writer has that sole authority. So therefore, if I don't have the authority of the usage of the word, but the writer, therefore I will have to, first of all, interpret it in their world first. What does this word mean in their world? I have to interpret it first in their world. Do you get me? You shouldn't interpret in your world. If not, you'll be like the guy whom, when Paul said, my old man is crucified, thought Paul was referring to his father. So I know who Paul's father is. Who is Paul's father? The man that was crucified with Jesus. Why did he say so? Because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. No, he don't say that. Hallelujah. You are using today's language to interpret Paul's word. And it's wrong. Okay, follow me. And it's wrong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I will have to interpret it first in their world. And then, what do I do with it in my world? Do I have to say interpret it in my world? No. I will apply it. Because I've seen what the interpretation is in their world,
I will apply it in my world today. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So, in getting to know the meaning of the word in their world, I will have to sit in the seat of the first audience, or of that audience. I have to take the seat of that audience when they heard the word and hear what they heard. In getting to know what the meaning of the word is, right? I have to sit first in the seat of that audience and hear what they heard. Hallelujah. That is, I must get acquainted to how words are used in their world. Glory to God. Must get acquainted with how words are used in their world. That becomes very vital in Bible study. Because Bible study itself, Paul will say in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, he calls Bible study toiling. He says a worker who need not be ashamed, toiling, agape, labor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what he in chapter 3 verse 16 now says, profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness, referring to spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So on the second look on the word spiritual growth, we began this study 7 weeks ago, right? This is the seventh track, right? Seventh section, right? Okay, so 7 weeks ago, or put 6 weeks ago, anyone? Father, like 6 weeks ago. And we began looking at spiritual growth. Now, when we said, just a recap of some things we said, first of all, looking at Matthew 28:20, it says teaching them. We said the end point of teaching is what? Spiritual growth, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures, that is the word grammar. All scriptures, past graphy, is given by the inspiration of God, right? It's given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, called for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? Hallelujah. So if that be the case, glory to God, if that be the case, it says, what you find in the teaching of the word will be spiritual growth, right? Right? And in the teaching of the word, you have what? Instructions, right? Receive instruction. And that responsibility lies with the pastor. Right? Lies with the pastor. So that means your pastor is giving to you for your spiritual growth. Your pastor is giving to you your spiritual growth. And where will you be pastored? You cannot be pastored at home. No. You are pastored in the local church. What are you hearing me? You are pastored where? Your pastor in the local church, not at home. Hope you're following me. Your pastor in the local church. And the pastor or the local church is a place of spiritual growth. Like I said to us, I said nobody who you find jumping from church to church ever grows spiritually. Because you cannot find spiritual growth outside the local church. You must be in church to have spiritual growth. Hope you're following me. And we're going to see the reason for that as we progress in this series. Maybe as we progress, you see the reason for this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, very vital. The local church is a place of this spiritual growth. And spiritual growth can be found outside the local church. Let's see something about spiritual growth in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, from verse 11. Are you there? Ephesians 4:11. Are you there? It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave who? Pastors, which is the leadership, the local church. Verse 11 is the local church. For what? The perfecting of the saints. That's the word for the equipping. That's the word equipping. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ, that he will come to the unity of faith, you see that? That is of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you see that? He says, till we all come. Now look at verse 20, it said, that we henceforth be no more children. Did you see that? So, when you use the word be no more children in the pews, he's referring to spiritual growth there. Hallelujah. That we be no more children. Okay. Glory to God. I want to show something now. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. A.B. We'll get back to something else. Hallelujah. I hope you're with me. So when he uses the word there in verses 14, he says, we henceforth be no more children. Now what is the word in the pews? Talk to and for. So when you hear the word in the pews, it shows you that what? There is growth. Right? He's talking about growth. We be no more children. Talk to and for. Right? And carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, well by the light in wait to deceit. You see that? But speaking the truth, may grow up. You see that? In him, in all things. You see that? May grow up. You see growth there? May grow up. So he's talking about spiritual growth. So where would there be spiritual growth? In the local church. You see that? May grow up. Grow up. So that is spiritual growth. So that means spiritual growth will be found in the local church. I'm telling you from experience. Anyone who is not stationed in a local church cannot grow. I told us that. Hallelujah. You can grow. And something you're going to see about growth shortly, just shortly today, you will get to see it. But, you know, you will discover that growth is not in breath, as I said, but in depth. Hallelujah. Right, amen. So, where would you find spiritual growth? In the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. Not outside the local church. In the local church. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. He said that we may grow up in him. Is that? Look at verse 16. I don't want to get there before, but I want to get there now. He said, from whom the whole body filled it joined together and compounded by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working of the measure of every part make an increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All this you will find in the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So when he uses the word no more children, grow up, will be spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So when you now get to that verse 16 and it says, from whom the whole body filled the joint together compounded with every joint supplied. Now when you use that word supplied, that is an active word. Okay, follow me. It's an active word. So it shows you that spiritual growth will be visible. Okay, hear me. Say, I am going on spiritually. How are you going on spiritually? I am going on spiritually. It's inside. No! Spiritual growth will be visible. To be visible for the eyes to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will be visible. Remember, in verses 12. Go back to verse 12. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the divine of the body of Christ, that we all come to the unity of faith. And what does he call the unity of faith there? He says, calls it the knowledge of the Son of God. So that means, it's the teaching that will produce growth. Hope you are following me. I need you to follow me now. If you've not been concentrating, you have to pay serious attention now. Hope you are following me. Now, it shows that growth will be visible, as I've said. Now, He now uses, if you go to that verse 13, he says, we recall the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. That means it's a teaching that produces, or teaching will produce spiritual growth, right? That is sense. That's sense. Something else you have to see. He says, till we all come to the, I mean verses 14, henceforth be no more children tossed to have carried away by every wind of doctrine. See, when you see a man who is moving from doctrine to doctrine, or have different people or she is listening to at different time, having different doctrine, I want to know this and know that and know that, it's not good. You see that? It's not good. It's not good. Spiritual growth will be found inside the local church. Okay, follow me. I will find inside the local church. Not outside. It will not be found out, it will not be found in the multiplicity of men you're listening to. No. It will be found in the local church. So, when he uses this word, knowledge of the Son of God, he will come to the knowledge, that is knowledge, which is the teaching of the word. It shows that, listen, look at verses 13 and verses 16. Verse 13 produces 16. Every part. Supplier. Did you see that? So 13 will produce 16. So it shows you that any knowledge that is acquired that doesn't translate to our walk in faith is not yet known. Any knowledge you think you know in scripture, as long as it doesn't translate to your walk, even if you feel you know it, you don't know it. Hallelujah. Let me put it like this for you. You know, in school, if I'm able to put pen to paper and write something, it shows I know it, right? Right? But in Christianity, that is not the case. It's not what you can put pen to paper that shows growth. No. You know something when you begin to live it. Okay, follow me. So you can be hearing on messages on prayer, prayer, prayer. You know the Greek word, the Hebrew word, the narratives in the Old Testament books. As long as you are not praying, you don't know jack about prayer. You don't know jack about prayer. So knowledge in Christianity will be seen in our walk in faith. That shows you know. You know it. Hallelujah. Okay, follow it. Amen? Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. So therefore, if knowledge will be known by my walk in faith, it then means spiritual growth will not be found in the multiplicity of things that I come to acquire, but rather will be found in them. Okay, for ladies, yes. There are people who know Greek and Hebrew, can read Bible front and back. They can tell you anything you want to hear. But you know, they are believers on vacation. That's how I know evangelism. Evangelism is the this, that, this, that, that, the this, that, that. Evangelism is carrying out God's mission in the earth. And you don't evangelize. You don't know con about evangelism. Okay, yeah. So, knowledge not put to work is not knowledge at all. So that means knowledge is not in the multiplicity, but it's in the depth. It's in the depth. Depth. And that is the reason for repetition. That is the reason for repetition. Depth. Repetition. Remember, we stopped somewhere last week. I'll pick it up. Hallelujah. Depth. Death. In 2 Peter, so the reason for repetition, in 2 Peter 1:12. Look at what Apostle Peter said there. Verse 12, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this table, I have to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of what you didn't know. Hope you're following me. That means there is that point of repetition in the teaching of God's word. There's that point of repetition, and repetition is to bring again to your remembrance. Hope you are hearing me. It's to bring it again to your remembrance. Glory to God. It's to bring it to your remembrance. Look at verse 14. He says, knowing that shortly I will put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has shown me, 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in what? Remember. What things is that? Verse 16, for we will not follow after cunningly divide tables. This is they are talking about the scriptures. So that means there must always be a repetition of the teaching. There are some things that we, as a church, will repeat it every year. What our teachings are through the year. There's no year we don't teach on prayer. There's no year we don't teach on the work, on love work. There's no year we don't teach on the leading of the Spirit. We teach it every year. Just to remind you. Hallelujah. There's no year we don't teach about the local church. What are we teaching today? Local church, my spiritual growth. We don't teach, there's no year we don't teach about the walking in love. We just finished being a lawyer of prayer. That is walking in love. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. It's just to remind you again. Remind you again. We teach on prayer every year. We teach on the things of the Spirit every year. We teach on rejoicing every year. Every time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's for repetition. Remembrance. Okay, you hearing me? To put you in remembrance. Say, sir, I want to hear something new. We're going to deal with that shortly. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verses 1. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir you up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Listen to that. By way I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. So it's very important. By way of remembrance. So repetition will bring remembrance. Will bring remembrance. You repeat it. Paul will say in Philippians 3, verses 2. Philippians 3, 2. Are you there? Philippians 3, sorry, verse 1. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said, to write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous. Say, but for you it is safe. Did you see that? It is safe. So repetition is safety for the believer. Okay, follow me. It's safety. It's safety. You have to hear it again. Okay, hearing it. To hear it again. Hear giving again. This is why you stopped giving last year. You teach it again. You teach believers' conduct again. Hallelujah. You teach it again. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to our website. Our teachings can be divided along these four lines. Prayer. Prayer. Pneumatic. They are just there. Every year. We have them all lined up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, repetition is for my safety. Repetition is for my safety. It's on my safety. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at Paul. From verses 2, he said, preach the word. He's telling the pastor. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. He said, preach the word. What will be the word? 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Right? Will that be sound doctrine? That will be sound doctrine. Hope you're following me. I'm going back again to last week to come back again. Will that be sound doctrine? That will be sound doctrine. Will that be the same thing? That will be to teach, preach the same thing. Say, preach the word. Did you see that? So preach the same thing. Right? Will that be repetition? Emphatically, yes. We're going to see why I call it repetition. Is it in season and out of season? So that means nothing should change the teaching of the word. Don't teach circumstantial teaching. Some people are teaching circumstantial teachings. Don't teach circumstantial teaching. Teachings like, okay, Man lost yesterday, or put Arsenal won yesterday, and Jesus scored 2 goals. I said, can you see? The fact that a man is a Christian doesn't mean things are going to work. We can be a Christian without having Jesus. Look at Arsenal, look at Man. And then the pastor is preaching it. No. Nothing changes the message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said you should come to church every day and know what you will be taught. You will still be taught about Christ's resurrection. Yes. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. You can come to church every day and know what Pastor will talk about Jesus' resurrection. He will talk about the fact that he rose from the dead. You will say no mixing words. Hallelujah. You will hear it. You will hear instruction in Matthew 28. You will hear it. Hallelujah. So you don't get tired of it. Both as a pastor and the one hearing. Hallelujah. Don't get tired of it. Why would you? Where do you want to teach from again? Where do you want to teach from again? The message in scripture has not changed. It didn't change in Genesis. It didn't change in Revelation. It's the same. So why would you change it? You can change it. It's the same message in scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch all of this. Watch everything. Glory to God. So when you take Moses' writing, like I was sharing with the pastors, and then you take Moses' 10 commandments and look at it vis-a-vis Genesis, you discover that you'll find them all in Genesis. That's what he's writing about there. Hallelujah. You see it all through there. The message hasn't changed. They asked Jesus, what is the great commandment of the law? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang all the laws and the prophets. So that's what you find. So that means Jesus has told you, this is what he sees from Genesis to Malachi. I read it. You find faith in God and love to all men. That is it. Hallelujah. You bring it to the four gospels. You find it in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find it in all the epistles. Faith in God and love to all men. So the message of scripture hasn't changed. So Paul went and said to Moses, preach the gospel in season and out of season. He said, then he tells him what? Rebuke. Right? Hallelujah. It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Therefore, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what does he call sound doctrine? The things he was to preach. Right? Would that be the teaching of Paul? Emphatically, yes. In 2 Timothy 2:2. Would that be the same teaching of Paul in chapter 3, verse 18 to 10? I mean verse 10. That is this is practically true. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. That will be the same thing. In other words, time will come, they will not endure the same thing again. They will not endure hearing the same words again. Yeah. Every time, like the nonsense I did when I was in school, when you tell someone, ah, every time we're hearing commitment, 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 we're having spiritual question. That is stupidity. You don't say such words. Hallelujah. Because repetition is for your safety. How are you following me? Repetition is for your safety. Glory to God. There's nothing called spiritual question. It has never existed. So stop saying nonsense. Hallelujah. Spiritual question is when you don't hear the word at all. There's a scripture for that though, just pulling your legs there. But that's true. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, like we said just now, so they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. That is, they will no longer keep hearing the same thing over and again. Right? Right? So, who would you find in the background? We're going to deal with that next week. Hallelujah. You find some people at the background of these scriptures. Hallelujah. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. The same words again. They will no longer enjoy it. So that means he shows you that endurance is what you do to the teaching of the word, not enjoyment. We're going to deal with that. Hallelujah. They will no longer enjoy it. But after their own loss, they will heap up, he calls it lust. That is to say, he calls it after their desire, what they want. They will heap up teachers having itchy ears. When you know what itchy ears, it means they want to hear something new. They want to hear something new. 10 ways to make prosperity work. 10 G's. No! They want to hear something new. The apocalypse to the scriptural. They want to hear something new. 10 apocalyptic ways of making it in a dying, dead economy from scripture. That is nonsense. Yes, that man knows how to bring scripture into reality. 10 apocalyptic ways reveal of how to make it in a dying economy like Nigeria. What? Very soon in Nigeria, sir, can't you teach us? That is teaching here. So, or somebody just imagine somebody is teaching the Emiloko of the scripture. They say, ah, man of God. Man of God. Emiloko. Taking it by violence. You are just having itching ears. Hallelujah. Have you followed it? It's just itching ears. Glory, glory, glory. Hope you're following me here. So it becomes very important. He said they will no longer enjoy sound doctrine. He said they will have itching ears, tickling ears. That's what it means. They want to hear fanciful words. They are tired of hearing the same thing. Jesus died and rose again. He said, we did it last week. You know, he said it was last 2 weeks. You told us last month. He has been saying it today. Jesus died and rose. Hallelujah. Settle it within yourself. And be watchful when you begin to say, I'm tired of hearing it. Satan has got an estate on you. Hallelujah. Because you know growth will not be found in itching ears. I have something in my notes. See, I say repetition implies I will not find growth in excitement. Something we're going to see as we progress. There will not be growth in excitement. Not today, but as we progress in this teaching. You will not find spiritual growth in excitement. Even normal learning in school. People, some people on Monday, tomorrow morning, now like Monday, go and go to school, they'll be crying. You go to school. That is just it. Don't find growth in it. Spiritual growth, can't find it in excitement. It's not found in excitement stage. When you're like, woo! Somebody says, wow! We're not growing anything. Wow! Because you're hearing it for the first time. Now they put in next week. They say, you said it last week. You said it next week. You're saying it last week. Spiritual growth. Hallelujah. When you are hearing it again and again and you are not dozing off, you are writing it. You are hearing it again. Tell me to write it. Say, I have it in last week's notes. No, you are writing it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no excitement. So, that means the believer must pass that stage of excitement. Come here, hearing me. No. You pass that stage of excitement. Spiritual growth is not finding excitement. Rather, we're going to see where it's found. It's not found in the pattern. Rather, I will find spiritual growth, as we'll see in the coming weeks, in consistency and continuity. Consistency and continuity. Consistency and continuity. Consistency praying. Consistency, continuity in prayer. We'll find all those activities as we go further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope to get to touch this before we round up this series. Activity, I have to. Amen? So you see, we have a long way to go on this teaching. Right? Amen. Amen. I am not cutting it short. This is just 7th week. We still have the whole of next month. and a few parts of October, because we have to switch to Holy Ghost City. Hallelujah. But let's see how it goes. Amen. Let's see how it goes. I don't want to rush it, but the same way too. Even if we cut it short as of, we'll pick it up. Right? We'll pick it up in consistency and what? Continuity. I have something here. Consistency and repetition is boredom. So that means I will find spiritual growth in boredom. I say yes! You'll find it in boredom. You know, the first time you prayed in tongues, you were happy. Woo! Manto, seki, power. Cool. Now, you have to pray. You know, the first week, he said, I want to be praying for 4 hours every day. 2 hours every week. Or let's say every day I'm going to pray 2 hours. The first day, the first week, or the first day, pray 2 hours. Wow, pray. The second day, pray. Third day, 1 week, you're going to say, ah. You know? Yeah, yeah. Now you're not praying. The 2 hours not turning to 30 hours. Well, you have to pray. You have to pray. That is good. That is easy. Those are things you find good. When it's no longer excitement, it's now commitment, consistency. I'm now committed to it. I'm now consistent in it. Hallelujah. You don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. You know, that is when you pass excitement stage. You are no longer doing things based on how you feel. I feel like praying now. Let me pray. No, this time you are tired. But because you have to be consistent. Consistency is not found in 2 days. It's found in years, in decades. Hallelujah. I stay consistent. The same attitude I have in day one, I have it in year 10. I'm consistent. Hallelujah. The same attitude I have towards church, I have it. Not after a while I begin to come to church late. No, I have it, the same attitude. I'm consistent. So the whole life of the believer is wrapped up around consistency and continuity. The whole life of the believer is wrapped up around it. Wrapped up around it. When you got born again, you wanted to preach the gospel everywhere. You were going around preaching and preaching. Now, you no longer you say, I have a busy schedule. See backslide. They have backslided. But there's consistency. I'm going to talk to 10 people every week. And I'm doing it. Consistency. Continuity. Hallelujah. 10 weeks. 10 people every week. I'm talking to them. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Hallelujah. Consistency and continuity. I hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you look at the words of Jesus, when he's using the word terio to observe to do according to all that is written in it. Matthew 28, observe. That word observe, as I show you, that word observe terio is a word for consistency and doing. Observe is the word for consistency. Even the very words of Jesus. Consistency and doing. Jesus was consistent in his prayer life. Consistent in his preaching. Hallelujah. Consistency. Consistency. And doing. You observe by doing. You observe by keeping. And doing the same thing over and again. The Christian life is a life of routine. It's a life of routine. And in this routine, you will find spiritual growth. The Christian life is a life of routine. There's a routine. There's a routine. The same thing. Hallelujah. So why is your life just straightforward? You are not even flexible. No, the Christian life is a routine life. Hallelujah. It's a routine life. Is routine. Hallelujah. The life of routine. And it's in that routine you find spiritual growth. In that routine you find spiritual growth.
feel like going a bit into spiritual growth
now.
I'm looking at the time. Okay, let's spend part into this again. Few things. Let's consider the word spiritual growth. So people think when you hear spiritual growth, and they mix it up with some scriptures. We're going to see that next week. Hallelujah. So when they hear spiritual growth, they think you are referring to growing up. I mean, they think you are referring to your spirit growing. Some people think, so when they say spiritual growth, they think it's your spirit that is growing. Your spirit is growing. So some people will see, we say when a man is born again, he's born again a child. Have you heard that before? Man is born again a child. No, man is not born again a child. Or they say a man is born again a child, thinking the man has a childish spirit. How about that? Childish spirit. Is there anything like that? Then he begins to feed on the world and feed on his wife. Feed on his wife, his spirit begins to grow. There's a spiritual growth into the spirit. No. That's not spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So next week, we're going to spend time to look at where they got that misinterpretation from. Right? And they missed that off from Peter, when Peter said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. And they forgot, most Peter was using the illustration of a newborn child to talk about how we should desire the word of God. But if Peter was referring to the fact that as believers, you are born again a child. Somebody will say you are born again in the pews. Then you now move from being in the pews to technon. From a technon to heels. These are the stages of spiritual growth in your spirit. No. 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 You don't find that in scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to look at that word. Peter used the word brephos. Paul also used the word brephos in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. It says from a child, brephos. But also too, he uses another word to nepios. How is the word nepios used? How is the word brephos used? How is the word heals used? Hallelujah. We're going to look at that. And we're going to see what's really spiritual growth. Like as we said, spiritual growth will be seen. It will be visible to the eyes. Hallelujah. It will be visible for all to see. Glory to God. That is spiritual growth. It will be visible. It will be seen. And it will be seen in the local church. Remember, it deals with routine. It will come from routine. How faithful are you to your prayer time? You set prayer time, you set alarm for prayer on your phone, it rings, you put it off. It rings, you snooze it. After a while you put it off, because I'm tired to pray. No. Spiritual growth will be found in routine. Hallelujah. Set time to pray. Set time for vigil. Set times to pray. Spend time. Set time to fast. Set time to evangelize. You can start a routine today. What does it take to start a routine? Just make up your mind. This is what I want to do every week. You can write that down and say every week, this is how I will do it. A believer must be serious about his spiritual growth. Like I said, it will follow the routine. Hallelujah. So we're going to take time. We're going to spend time. Write down, this is what I want to do every week. Every week I want to talk to 10 people. Every week I want to pray to choose days. Every week, every month I want to fast. Every time I want to do this, you're going to write them down. You're going to say, I'm going to do that. Because I'm serious about my spiritual growth. You can be 10 years born again and you are in the pew. Something I said to pastors, and I will say that in the course of this teaching, is the fact that you can lose your spiritual growth. You can. Why I said that yesterday, Pastor Garuba, right? I said that to myself. You can lose your spiritual growth. You can. You can be like this spiritually and then immediately, you know, age, they say age goes up and never comes down. But spiritual growth goes up and you can crash down. You can lose it all. You can lose it all. There's only a function I've let I've left Nepius. I'm not Nepius. You can go back to Nepius tomorrow. It's not a respect of whether you're a pastor. It's not a respect of whether you're a Jew. No. So we must stay around the same activity. Hallelujah. Make up your mind, it's going to be boring. It's going to be boredom. But you know what? I'm going to stay at it. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay at it. I'm going to stay around those activities that bring about spiritual growth. I'm going to stay around them. Hallelujah. And I'll stay there forever. Amen. Let's be on our feet. Just thank you.